Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Well, how many of you do not know who I am? Lionel, really? Okay, good. So you all know, so I don't have to go through the spiel of who I am. Thank you, right? Pastor Jim Endeavor's daughter, obviously Dan's wife, and my wonderful brother Luke's, his sister. Okay, I'm the old one. So he gets to be the younger one. That's good. So he has a couple more years on me. So he and Dan have just done an amazing job in the pulpit. Haven't they done a wonderful job? Every time they minister, I'm just getting so full. And my faith tank is full. How many of you are coming on the weekends? If you are not, you need to go back and get those messages because we've been talking about faith. And it has been so exciting and empowering. And it's just filling me up. And I just know last week's message from Pastor Luke was just amazing. I was at home with sick kids for like 8 days. And I drove to church thinking, this is it. I get to come to church today. I was so excited. And then my son gets really sick on the way to church. And I'm like, seriously? So I had to turn around and go home. I got home just in time for church to start. So hello, live streamers. Hello. We are glad you are with us. And you can feel the presence of God in your living room, but don't make that your church. You need to come into the house of God when you can and be with the body of Christ, because I'm telling you, I could not wait to get back into the company of people. But when Pastor Luke was preaching about faith, it just spurred something inside of me, and they had asked me to talk tonight about good works. Did you know that good works and faith work together? Did you know that? The Bible actually talks about to have faith and not good works, and to have good works and no faith doesn't work together. It's like putting on a glove and a hand. You can have your hand, let's say your hand is faith, right? And a glove is your good works. Does good works do anything without faith? No, because there's nothing motivating them. There's nothing behind them. But then when you have a hand and it's cold outside, do you need a glove to put it on? Well, good works and faith work together, and it's like a hand and a glove that work together. So I think God is really walking us through a process here at The Rock. We had moved the Good Works Expo, which is going to be this weekend. I challenge you to come on out and be a part of something amazing. And we had moved it to, you know, January. We normally have it in the summertime. And I believe that God is appointed that. We kept going, why are we doing it in January? I know I would say that. I don't know about you, Mignon, but I was kind of like, January, all right. It was kind of the only slot that we got. I think everything is ordained by God. And we're talking about faith, and now we're talking about good works, and I believe it all is so connected as I've been studying this out. And so let's get into the word tonight. Do you have your Bibles? We went to Rhema, and we went to Bible Training Center. Rhema Bible Training Center in Oklahoma, as you all know, you've heard the many stories. We have learned how to make top ramen in 101 ways. Dan and I were going to write a book about it, but we found out somebody else already made the book. So, and it was such a good time in my life. I sat there listening to the messages and going, what am I going to do with this? And now, on a day-to-day basis, I'm going, okay, now I know how to live. Now I know what I've learned. Now I know what's instilled in me. Now I know what the Word of God says and why it says what it says. And so there was this teacher, and he would raise this Bible and say, this is the Word of God. This is the Word. This is going to edify me. This is who I am. I'm going to speak what it says. I'm going to believe what it says. And you know, there's power in the Word. So if you're coming tonight without a Bible, we need to get you a Bible, okay? So you come talk to us, we'll hook you up. And I'm sorry I'm doing that, but we are giving away Bibles around here. So, and you need to bring your Bible because it is life and death. And it is what is in the power of the tongue is life and death, and you need to be speaking the Word of God. So let's get into the Word tonight. I would like you to turn with me, okay? Turn with me to Mark, and we're going to get there. So just turn to Mark. If you don't know where that is, ask the person next to you. They will be nice and kind and help you get there, all right? We're going to talk about what is the deal with good works. You know, good works is kind of trendy and popular. Have you noticed that? Like, every celebrity has a charity they're giving to. In fact, we watched the show Celebrity Apprentice. Have you guys seen that show? And don't try and be spiritual like you don't. I know you do. And they have the charity that they're giving to and a charity that they're giving to, and it's just like a trendy tag thing for them to do. But you see, the deal with good works is it wasn't their idea, it's a God idea. And good works is for God and by God, and it's His heart. And I had been pondering on this message because at Girlfriends AM, we had been going through Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, first we talked about fasting through Isaiah 58. Then we talked about the words of our mouth. Then we talked about being generous to people. And now we're going to go into building our city, rebuilding our city. And so this has already been stirring inside of me. If you don't know anything about the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, we love people to life here. This church started with tears and a box of Kleenex. So if you see the Kleenex under your seats, that's not done by accident. That's done on purpose because we were a whole bunch of broken people, but we had a perfect God. And we would just come to the sanctuary and just cry and be with our King. And that's how this church started. And then Mignon and my mom went out with beans and rice, and they began to knock on the doors in San Bernardino and ask people, do you need anything? Do you need food? Do you need beans and rice? And that's how the warehouse started. If you have not checked out the warehouse, you need to check out the warehouse. It is amazing what God does. Things come out of nowhere. I call it the fish and loaves warehouse because I'm telling you, Mignon, am I not kidding? We need something. We don't know what to do. We pray and it just comes in. And I believe that that's because this church has committed to do what it is God's asked us to feed the poor, to love those that are hurting, to help those that are in need. And so here I am, the pastor over the outreach ministry, and it's my day off. What do I do on my day off? Well, I go shopping. And now, not shopping like you think. Girls, shopping. You know what that means? My husband's like, what's shopping versus shopping? Well, shopping's like, oh, I gotta go shopping, you know? That's just food. Shopping's clothes and fun things. Right, girls? Am I with you? Okay, so I'm going shopping, and I'm at Vaughn's, and every time I'm there, no joke, somebody's hitting me up for money. And I'm like in a rush. You know, you got three kids. You're just trying to get in the store without somebody losing an eye and you not beating them in front of everybody and then get to the car before there's like a major meltdown. Am I right? So if you see me running around town, just say hi and let me keep going because I got a lot of kids and there's a lot going on in my world. So I'm running into the store and I'm running past this guy, really tall guy. And he's like, he asked me for something. And I'm like, not right now. And I just kept walking into Vaughn's. Now, was that nice and loving of Pastor Jess? No, I totally failed. And the man says to me after I walk past him, he says, okay, well, I didn't mean to burden you. And I was like, oh, God. So I'm like walking inside. I'm like, Lord, I'm so horrible. Please forgive me. This cold heart of mine, and I'm always on my agenda and my time, and I was just devastated because I felt like I broke the heart of God. It wasn't even about that. It was like I knew that I had unpleased God, and I was under the fear of God, like, oh my goodness, what did I do? This poor man, he thinks he's a burden to me. He doesn't even know me. How can he think he's a burden to me? And so I'm just calculating all these things in my heart, and the Lord speaks to me and says, get him a meal. And I said, okay. And he goes, and get him one you would eat. All right. And so I went around and I picked like the best sandwich that they could make there, you know, and I got him Cheez-Its. Now, if you don't know anything about me, I love Cheez-Its on the side. They're like totally not healthy, so I don't eat them that much, but I love Cheez-Its. And so I got him some Cheez-Its. I didn't just get him water. I got him the special water. You know, the water that's going to give him proteins and vitamins and all those things. I'm sure the Cheez-Its totally canceled the water out, but I thought, you know, I'm going to let him know that I love him and that he's never a burden to me. And I went outside when I was done and I had the clerk put it in a separate bag and I handed it to him and I looked at him in the eyes and I said, I am so sorry that I was rude to you. Please forgive me. And I said, you are never a burden to me, never. And God loves you. And the man just paused and he was like, okay, thank you. And he took the lunch and I said, have a good day. And I just went to my car. And when I walked away, I felt God's pleasure. Not for me, not because I repented and got myself in check, but because God was able to minister to this man the way this man needed to be ministered to. And I was in the way of that. Now, I could either have gotten myself out of line and kept doing my thing and just, here's another person asking for money. Or I could line myself back up to, okay, Lord, what is it you need me to do? And I'm on a mission here. Yeah, I might be on a mission to get my kids some food at the best deal possible and do it before the time runs out and do it before this. But really, I got to get off my mission and get on God's mission. And when I began to allow that to happen to me, the Lord gave me this thought. What if you entertained an angel at that moment? And I went, oh, man. If I entertained an angel, I'm very glad that I corrected my heart. Because you never know. The word says that we entertain angels all the time. And you never know what way they're going to come. You never know what form they're going to be in. But let me tell you, God has a plan for every human being on this earth. It is not his heart to watch people suffer. It is not his heart to see them in brokenness. And it is not our job to judge them while they're there. It is our job to love them back to life. And so the Lord spoke that to me. And when I went through that experience, it reminded me that good works are not burdensome. If we are sitting here going, oh, I got to go do this for so-and-so, and you're complaining about it, it's a burden to you, then that's not true good works out of the heart of God. Because good works are not a burden, all right? You can write these down. Good works are not brownie points to get us into heaven either. We don't do it to put our token in heaven and make God happy. No, good works are not about brownie points to heaven. They do not make you feel good about yourself. That's not why we do them. Now, there might be a benefit to that. Like for me at the end, when I knew that God was pleased with me, I felt good because I was in, you know, when you want to make your dad happy. I mean, I'm a daddy's girl, okay? I love my dad. People tell me I am the woman version of him, all right? Which is not good for me, all right? Because he's kind of tough, you know? And he says things like they are. And as a girl, I got to be like, zip it. Nobody's going to get that. Okay, so just bear with me. I won't say anything crazy, I hope. So I'm a daddy's girl. And when my dad says, oh, I love when you do that, or I love how, you know, you do that, Jess, or when you say this, or thank you for that, my heart melts. I'm like, oh, thanks, Dad. Because every daughter wants approval from their father, right? And that is the same with God. It is not about making you feel good, but it's about pleasing God. They are not for the next trendy thing. Like I said, good works are not just to be trendy. You know, this church started all of our outreach ministries, and then all of a sudden, no churches around us were doing it. Now, all of a sudden, every church does, and they come get their stuff from us. Did you know that? We supply other churches with what they need. You may go, you're bragging. You know what? We're awesome. I am bragging because this church is amazing. Not because of us, not at all because of us, but because of a God who has seen that we love him and that we're willing to work hard and we're willing to do what it is he's asked us to do. And I believe that not just the church, but us as a whole have a responsibility to love people. And it shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be our token into heaven. It shouldn't be to make us feel good. It shouldn't be trendy and the next best thing. But good works is the heart of God. It is faith and love in action. Write that down. It is faith and love in action. Good works are not just a deed, but it's an action, and it's an expression of love. So now that we've learned what they aren't, let's dabble into what good works are, okay? And how is our role in this for us in our life? You guys ready? I'm not going to do point one, two, and three. I'm just going to give you some tidbits. Good works is showing God's love. That kind of goes without saying, right? Because when you do something for somebody and you're being generous, doesn't that express the love of God? Yes. Is it easy for us to do that sometimes? Have you ever found yourself in a moment where you know you should do something for someone, but yet you're kind of like, oh, that's awkward. I don't want to do that. You know, please don't make me do that. You know, have you ever had that argument with God? Like maybe you're at the store or maybe you're like somewhere and the Lord is like, come on, come on, I'm almost like, I'm sure he does this to me all the time. Would you just do it already? You know, and I just know that the Lord is saying, you are my hands, you are my feet, I need you to get moving, and I need you to love people to life. In this church, Pastor Jim has defined love for us. And I love how he says, it is a giving of ourselves for the betterment of someone else. My mom has always taught me that if we err on the side of love, then we can never fail at what we're doing. You can never fail when you err on the side of love. See, when you're stuck in a situation and you're going, well, that homeless person, I've seen him hit that person up and that person up and that person. I know. But you know what? So what? You buy him a hamburger. Who cares? God will replace that money for you. He will make a way for you. But you just take care of these people because you know what? You may be the only Jesus and the only love that they get to see. And you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Now remember I told you, amen. Remember I told you to turn to Mark, okay? Let's turn to Mark 20. I'm sorry, Mark 12, 30 through 31. And it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't really like myself. Well, you like yourself enough to get up out of bed, right? And take a shower and put on some clothes and do your hair and brush your teeth and feed your body, right? So if you love yourself enough to take care of yourself, Because let me tell you, you should love yourself. Because Jesus died on that cross because you're amazing. He died on that cross because he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And he loves you so much that you are cherished to him. You may say, oh, I don't feel pretty, or I feel ugly, or I don't have a wife, or I'm not this, and I'm not that. Listen, God says, I don't see any of that. I only see the woman and the man that I created. I only see the God in you, and I see your potential. I see your greatness, and I love you. And God says, that's how he sees us. So if God sees us that way, how dare we look at ourselves and not love ourselves? Because isn't that a little offensive? If you created something awesome, you know, I will tell you a story. One time I made a meal, okay, a couple times, and my husband sits there and he eats, right? He's like shoving it down. Well, when Dan eats, he makes faces, like disgusted faces. After 13 years of marriage, I have learned this. But in the beginning of this marriage, I'm like, you know, the wife, you know how it is, girls. You make a meal and you're like, is it good? And he's like, yeah. And he's making it, I'm like, gosh, that's it, really? You know, and I'm not like not vocal. I'm like, seriously? Do you hate it? What's your face? What's going on there? You know? Now I've just learned, you know, Dan likes it, apparently. So, think about God. He made us, right? And he's like, and we're like, ugh, this is not any good. Ugh, I don't like this, and I don't like this, and I don't like this. He's going, really? Do you know how much work that took? Do you know how to go to the cross for that? Do you know that I had to work and think about it, everything that I put on your head? Listen, he loves us that much. And he says, I need you to love yourself. Because when you can grasp loving yourself, then you can take it to the next level and you can love people without strings attached, without judgments, without criticism. You could just say, it's cool. Now listen, I am preaching to me too. I am learning this as much as you are, okay? There are days that I'm like, ooh, I totally screwed up that one. I need to get in the prayer closet, obviously, with my story that I opened up with. And go to the King. Remember to love people to life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amy Carmichael says this, one can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. I love that. As we go through these days, we need to ask ourselves some questions about love. Did I end today with loving someone? Maybe, like, do a little heart check at the end of a day and go, you know, who came across my path and how did I respond to them? Did I love them? Was there somebody at the store that asked me for something? I was like, no, sorry, not doing that. You know, or was I like, you know what, I'm going to get you some food. If you don't want to give them money, I get it. Go buy them something to eat, you know? And I've had people throw bars back at me, you know, throw food back at me. But, you know, at least I did my part. At least I did what God asked me to do. And guys, listen, this is not about receiving anything back from these people. It's not about that. It's about loving without reciprocation. It's about loving even though you may not get anything back. You know what you're going to get back? Your reward is in heaven. Your reward is with Jesus. And you will know that when you walk through those pearly gates, that God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. The other day I was sitting in my room and being locked up, seriously, for 8 days with children sick is like horrible. You know, if I see one more Mickey Mouse program, I'm going to just run out of the house screaming, I hate Mickey. And I'm not kidding. And so I'm like sitting there in the middle of the night watching my son breathe and making sure he's not going to like go into croup and all these things, putting the humidifier on, and I'm praying. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, Lord, I feel so disconnected. I've been in this house for like 8 days, and what are these? You know, I don't feel like I've loved anyone. I don't feel like I've given like I'm going to be preaching about. And the Lord said to me, it starts in the home first. And you have loved these kids, and you have shown love to them, and they will one day turn around and show love to others. Listen, whether you're a mom or a dad, our jobs are humongous. You may have grown children. It doesn't mean they don't need you to love them still. I'm a grown daughter, and I'm telling you, there's nothing like a phone call from my mom and dad. They do call me the parent stalker, but I love my parents. Be the child stalker and love them to life. Love them when it's hard to love them, because your love will go further than your anger. Your love will go further than your wishing and your hoping. Your love will begin to paint a beautiful picture of restoration in their lives. All right, second part of good works. Good works is a picture of Jesus. It's like a painted canvas art of Jesus. And when we begin to put our hand to the plow, maybe it's getting into the warehouse and feeding people, and maybe it's going to the convalescent ministry and loving those that nobody comes to visit. Maybe it's writing to the prisoners. Maybe it's going to the juvenile hall and just really talking to those kids and putting life back into them and telling them that they are important, that someone loves them. Maybe it's the kid down the street that you know that when he walks in the doors of his house, who knows what's happening in there. But when he's out on the street, I'm going to hit him up. And I'm going to tell him that Jesus loves him. And I'm going to tell him he's valuable. And I'm going to tell him God loves him. So you see, we are the ones who paint a picture of Jesus with our good works. We are his hands and feet. Good works is a tangible way to show others the kingdom of God. So you may ask, well, then how do I show others the kingdom of God? Well, what is it that's going on in your world? I had quite an experience on Tuesday, and as I was pondering this message, it was a really busy day. It was like the first day I got out of the house. Hallelujah! And it was just wonderful, but I had so many things to do because it's my daughter's 10th birthday tomorrow. I cannot believe it. She's 10 years old. And so I'm crying, and I'm happy. I'm crying, I'm happy. Because, you know, when she turns 10, that's like two handfuls, like crazy. So how did I get this old? You know, so she's 10, and she's talking to me about stuff, and then I'm running around, and I leave Dan and the boys home, and I go to get Chloe, because I went to the store, and I forgot something again, and I couldn't finish the meal without the one product. So I run to the store, and I'm sitting finally for the first time, and she was in a ballet class. She's part of Dance with Purpose in Redlands, and yeah, you can give them a hand. They are awesome. And Krista is over here, and she is the owner of Dance with Purpose, and I'm sitting down, and Chloe's doing her ballet, and it's been a crazy day, and I'm a little crabby. Do you guys get crabby, or is it just me? I mean, I'm crabby, and I walk in, and I'm like, come on, it's not over yet. Like, sorry, Krista. So I had 5 minutes left, and I was thinking, you know, come on, hurry up, I gotta go. And I sit down. It was almost like the Holy Spirit knows how to settle us, right? So I sit down, and I'm listening, and I'm watching the girls through the window of their dance. And it's this beautiful song about God. It is this song that is glorifying the name of Jesus. These girls are beautiful, and as her class has grown up, they've gotten so good at their moves, and just they flow, and they're using their gifts for Jesus. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is what I needed, God. I just needed to be blessed. I needed to be refreshed. I needed to settle down and take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. And that song ministered to me. And as I was sitting there, I thought to myself, you know, there are all these other parents. I don't know if they're Christians. I don't know if they know what this is about. And that kind of excited me because there was a way that I was like, oh, I'm going to pounce them. You know, do you go to church? I was thinking of my strategy on how to get a conversation going. And so I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, don't do anything but look forward. And as I looked forward, I saw this verse. Can you show the picture? I took a picture of it. This is her dance studio, and it says, let your light so shine before all men that they will see the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And as I read that verse, that is our verse for our Good Works Expo. That is what we are and who we are at the Rock Church. And I began to cry. And I was like, you're speaking to me, God. You know, like, and he said, no, Krista has taken her business and she is speaking to the people that are coming in those doors and that they know that they feel the goodness and the peace of God every time they walk through her business. I know Krista's journey because Krista started in her garage on faith. I remember her telling me, God's telling me to open my own dance studio, and I'm scared. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know the first step to this. And now she has hundreds of students. She has her own studio. The studio has like these glass walls, so every person that walks by this studio gets to read that verse. So if they're just walking by, the name of Jesus is being proclaimed. Not only that, Krista keeps her price. I know, she's amazing. And she keeps her prices low so that people that have a lower income can come and that they can get fed and their kids can be a part of something greater than just being the best dancer, but serving God and loving Jesus and dancing for his name. Now that is a picture of Jesus. That is a good work to the community because she's giving back something that they didn't even know they needed. And see, Jesus does that. He gives us something that we didn't know we needed. Maybe there's been a void in your life, and when you find out who Jesus is, you're going, oh, where has he been my whole life? How did I not know that he was the answer to all of this? And, you know, I believe that you can do this in your world, just as Krista did in her business. Let's make room for Jesus to speak through us in our world. Let's invite him in to do what it is he needs to do. Start in your world. Make room for God. Put him on display. You say, how do I do that? Do it in your workplace. And ask the Holy Spirit, what can I do in my workplace? You know, okay, well, fine. Well, I go to school. I'm a student. Well, guess what? You have a lot of opportunity to open your mouth and speak the name of Jesus. Because everyone needs to know the goodness of God. Your family, you could do something there. Remember to be his hands, be his feet, because you are the one that paints a picture of Jesus. And last but not least, good works is a reward for all. I love what my mom says. I think it's T.L. Osborne. I'm not quite sure what it is. Yeah. She says this, and this is kind of a rule to live by. Okay, so write it down, because this is a good nugget. She says, if you are doing something, ask yourself this question. Is it good for me? Is it good for others? And is it good for God? And if it lines up with all of them, then you're probably doing the right thing. And I thought, wow, that's so good. And good works is good for me, it's good for others, and it's good for God. And so I know that it is the heart of God. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, those who are gracious to the poor and lend to the Lord, and the Lord will fully repay them. So if you are gracious to the poor, then you lend to God. Think about that thought. You lend to God. That's pretty amazing. That means that God needs you. He needs you to do your part. And that when you do your part, it says that he will fully repay you. I love that. In Matthew 25:34, we had this written, and Mignon, I'm telling you now, we need to get it written on our walls down there at the warehouse, and I've been saying this for years. It says, Matthew 25:34-40, as a little girl, I used to walk through the church in the old building, and this verse would touch my heart every time. I was this jerk teenager, and I'm sure you've heard the stories, because my parents love telling them, and I really was. And when I would walk through that room, there would be no one in there. And I would stop and I would read this verse and it would just touch my heart every time. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer, and they will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you do it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That is so beautiful. Ponder that and watch this video for a second.
Blessed are those who give without interest, who offer themselves and expect nothing in return. places of small sacrifices, where the thankless work is done. Sacred are the acts of true adoration, for they reveal the heart of the divine. Envy not the givers in the crowd, earning praise for their generous deeds, for they have received their reward. But for those who give in secret, more shall be given unto them. They shall be called blessed, the true saints. The restorers of streets to dwell in, and life shall be forever theirs.
Amen. Mother Teresa says, I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only more love. I love that. Now this is our reward for all of humanity. Go and love someone back to life, Rock Church. This is what God is asking us to do as a church. He is asking us to be a light in the darkness. San Bernardino can be a dark and gloomy place, but when I see it, I begin to see lights flickering. I begin to see the love of God and restoration falling upon this community and this church and the targeting cities that we are in. I know that God has called us to be the light in the darkness. He has asked us to be, in Isaiah 58:12, those that are among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up foundations for many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets that you dwell in. I believe, Rock Church, that it is our assignment to get into the highways and get into the byways and do the work of Jesus Christ. And listen, start in your homes and get involved in the church. We are doing our Good Works Expo on Saturday. It is from 12 to 2. If you have need of clothes, haircuts, food, whatever, we would love to bless you with that. If you know someone in the church that has need of that, let's bless them. But this is also an outreach to our community with no strings attached, people coming into our campus on our ground at our home. And we want to open our arms wide and say, welcome. No strings attached. We love you. What do you need? And this is our opportunity to show them the love of God. You know, when you go to someone's house, there's a hospitality that should be given to you. You should be offered a drink, and you should be, thank you for coming, and you want to put out the best meal, right? Listen, that is the same thing for Saturday. We are setting the table. We are opening up our home, and we are showing them the goodness of God. So come out. Be a part of what God is doing. Get involved in the convalescent ministries. Get involved in the prison ministries. I have new ministries inside of me that are just like screaming to come out, and I know that God is birthing new outreach and new things to do, because I know God has a plan for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We will be the city that is a light on a hill. And guys, we learned that good works is not a burden. So remember, when you're grumbling, you are not being right. Change your heart, okay? Because we are not going to grumble. It's not going to be a burden. It is not brownie points to get us to heaven. It is not to make ourselves feel good about us. It is not the trendy thing to do. But it is to show God's love, to paint a picture of Jesus, and to be a reward for all that are around us. I love you guys. Did you get something from the Word of God today? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.